Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's our pleasure to have you join us today. If this is your first time visiting, we want to give you a warm welcome. Thank you for choosing to spend your Sunday morning with us and worshiping Jesus this morning. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning, I looked outside, and it was pure white again. And I suppose it's fitting for December. I was kind of liking the green grass. I don't dislike snow. I just don't like having to handle it. You know, so it, like shoveling, I don't care for that at all. I like playing in it, and I like the way it looks. But having to deal with it is the thing that I don't like. So maybe there's plenty of you that can sympathize with me. And if anybody, you know, really wants, likes to shovel, I can give you my address. Just saying. I do, but I have one shovel. That presents a problem. And that anybody has kids, and especially ones that are of the same gender, notice that they either get along really well or they don't at all. And I have four boys, and it's a mix. You know, the youngest and the oldest get along pretty good. The two middle ones get along pretty good, but the other directions, you know, they kind of clash more than they get along. I'm kind of overstating that. They're all pretty good, but. Oh, that was a rabbit trail this morning. They're easy to follow in the snow, though. Okay, let's prepare to take up our morning tithes and offerings. You will see an envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you. You can utilize that for your tithes, your offerings, and for prayer requests. That's one of the best ways you can communicate with myself and with my wife Amanda. If you need prayer requests, things of that sort, please utilize that. We do get all of those after each Sunday. We get to see those and read those and pray for those requests. As you are filling those out, we're just going to pray over the offering. Amanda is going to come up and help us with announcements this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. I thank you that as we can look outside and see the fresh coat of pure white snow, Lord, that we can be reminded that you also are willing and able to purify us. Lord God, that you are willing and able to wash us cleaner than even the whitest snow we can ever imagine. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your sacrifice. Father, we thank you for your provision. For your willingness to take us under your supervision, and we give you honor and glory to you for everything that you've provided, the gifts and the talents and skills you've given us to bring finances and food and shelter for our lives. Lord, from that we give back to you. We ask that you would receive this tithe and this offering, that you would bless it, Lord God, and that it would be multiplied for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to actually have Ember come up here and do a quick announcement and update. She's been heading up the Souls to Souls. And so if you've missed, we haven't had you come up the last couple weeks, so have we? So first couple weeks, and then so she's going to give us an update and let us know, too, if there's anything you need help with or need.
Sure. So if you guys are not aware, we're doing a shoe drive. It's for Souls for Souls. It's any kind of footwear, really. It doesn't have to be sneakers. It can be boots. It can be high heels. It can be sandals. It can be one shoe. If you have a lone shoe that doesn't have a match, they will take it, and they will find someone who only needs one shoe, apparently. So it can be pretty much anything. As far as numbers, I'm not sure where we're at. The last time I counted, we had 99, but I have had so many come in this last week. It's crazy the amount that I have. I just haven't had a chance to kind of go through them, tie them, and count them and everything. Our goal is 500, so we still have quite a ways to go. But I will, I think we're going to pretty much due through this week. I'm going to Marshfield to pick some up from a lady on Saturday, and then I'm thinking probably early next week sometime we'll ship them out. So if anybody has any that they want to bring next Sunday, or they want to get to me somehow, my phone number is on the flyers. Otherwise, you can bring them to TNC Water too, and I work there, and you guys can drop them off anytime. I think that's about it. Yeah.
Any questions? No, we're taking questions today. You guys should like take me up on that. All right. It looks like we have just a couple more weeks of life group left. Does that sound right? Two more weeks? Okay, so it's going to end this Wednesday. Okay, so this is the last week. There are new calendars for December out on the welcome table. Everything is the same. It's just the calendar was off by a day or something. So make sure to take a new calendar out there. But yes, life groups will end this Wednesday. And then just stay tuned because we'll have some new things coming in January. The plan is to offer our Hope 101 class on Wednesday nights. So we're going to do that for a four-week session sometime starting in January. And that's kind of just a class that you can come to hear more about River of Hope and what we're about, what our vision, our mission, what we believe, and then also give you an opportunity to become a member if you want to become a member of the church here. So that'll be a four-week session starting probably around mid-January. And then after we get through that, we're going to launch another series of life groups again. So it'll be Wednesday nights at 6:30. Okay, and then coming up this Saturday and Sunday, this Sunday is our Christmas, our kids' Christmas program, and they've been working really, really hard for that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the program because I've been hearing just some things behind the scenes of what's going on. So this is a surprise for us too. Maybe you know more than me, but I think it's going to be awesome. Our children's pastor always, every year he's like, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to bring this year. And then the Holy Spirit talks to him and he gets a fresh idea. And I know it's going to be good this year. So you're going to want to make sure to come. Of course, bring your kids because they're probably in the program. We don't want to miss their part in the program. Also, bring a plate of cookies. If you love to make cookies and you have some or are going to be making some, please bring some for Sunday because we're going to plan to have some cookies after service. And next Sunday, so there will be no preschool next Sunday because we're going to have all the parents and families in here. And then so this Saturday night, we're actually going to have practice here at the church, and that is at 5 p.m. So this should really be awesome for you because you get to drop your kids off and leave for a couple hours. Maybe sneak in dinner with your spouse or something if you want to. So that's 5 p.m. this Saturday night. Again, just make sure to take one of the calendars out there. I know we were contacted. I don't know a whole lot of the details on this, but we were contacted about Ruby's Pantry that takes place here in Medford, and they are looking for help for volunteers for that. So if you are interested, the next date is Saturday the 17th, and on the calendar, there's contact info on there of who to talk to about that. Did you want to say anything more about that or no?
Yeah, On that same note, even though they are looking for volunteers, they're also there providing a service for the community. I don't recall the whole details. I know it's something along the lines where you bring, I think it's $10 or $20, and they send you home with literally like a cartload of groceries. So if you know anybody that is struggling this winter, please even if you have to take them there or you need to pick it up for them, please consider that. This is a huge thing, a huge service to the community to help anybody out that's struggling. If you're on social media at all, I know occasionally you'll see things come across some of the local sites, buy sell sites, people looking for help, people looking for, you know, they're just struggling. This is a great way to say, hey, this is here for you, you know, go take a couple boxes, whatever you have, and get some food at a much reduced price. Like I said, I don't know a lot of the details about it. I do know one of the families that is involved in it, and they, I believe, are Ken and Jen Burasek. They pastor the old cowboy church out on Apple Avenue. So if you like the country music and the old you know, old Western feel, maybe that's a place to check out. They're a great family. I went to school with some of their kids, and they do a really good job out there and are highly involved in this ministry. So please keep that in mind. And it's not just for anybody that's in need. They really are here for everyone. So, I mean, if you're trying to pull up a little extra money around Christmas, as oftentimes that happens, this is a great way to get out there and just utilize a ministry that's available.
And I believe they have a website, too. If you Google search, you'll find all of the details on their website of all of the dates they're running it. So, the last announcement that I have is that we will be having a service here on Christmas Day, and it's going to actually be at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30, so make sure to mark your calendar for that change. And we won't have any kids' church that day or preschool, so if somebody's planning to run preschool that day, it's just going to be a family service. We're going to do a one-hour service so everybody can come and still make it okay to their family plans that day. So otherwise, I think that is all I have for today.
All right. This Sunday, Caleb, you can bring up our graphic this morning. We've got a 1 week message that actually Amanda kind of inspired. So we are going to be using some of her footnotes and then my preaching, which is always fun and interesting because she thinks it's going to go one way and I follow where God tells me to go. So it's not always the same way, but it's fun that way. The message this morning is called Activating Your Season of Miracles. We're going to be reading out of two different passages of Scripture this morning, Luke chapter 7 and Acts chapter 5. If you have your Bible here, we'll be reading out of Luke chapter 7 first and Acts chapter 5 second. You can bookmark Acts 5 and turn to Luke 7. That would be great. We're going to pray this morning before we dive into this message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we could just come into your presence, that we can turn our eyes and our minds to focus on you, to hear from you this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak through me, that anything that comes from my mouth would be from you, from your will this morning, Lord God. We just pray and thank you for what you're going to do this morning. As we expect a move of your presence this morning, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 7, we'll be reading from verses 1 through 10. Caleb will have it up on the screen for us as well. I've got 4 points that we're going to bring today. So if you have a pen or you want to jot some notes down, I'll be giving those along as we go. But Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, reading from the New Living Translation this morning. When Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said. "For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. The first point this morning In our message titled Activating Your Season of Miracles, step one is activate your season by faith. Activate your season by faith. I chose Luke chapter 7 because Jesus himself is calling out a powerful faith. as we just read, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. So I call you to look again at this passage as we see this Roman officer understands the relationship of somebody superior and somebody that is under that leadership. And he understands, as we could see from the text, that Jesus is far superior. What really caused me to bring this text to us this morning is this Roman officer called for Jesus, knowing that Jesus could and would heal his servant. So first of all, that's his first step of faith, is believing that Jesus was who he said he was and was able to heal. So that's the first step that we see from this passage, is he believed in Jesus. We've been talking quite a bit lately about how we need a foundation of faith well established to be able to see movements of the Holy Spirit in healing, in gifts of the Spirit. We've been talking about that for the last week or two now. So this man is showing us that he has a foundation of faith, knowing and believing that Jesus can and will heal. So as Jesus is moving towards this man's home, this is kind of mind-boggling to me. In your own experience, or at least in my personal experience, as I think about the idea of having Jesus first alive in flesh, I would think that you would want that there with you. Because if there is anything that you know can and will work miracles in your life, you would believe that to be Jesus in flesh. And yet this man's faith was so strong, so powerful, that he calls out for Jesus. He said, "Stop, I am not worthy of you entering my home." Which in all of our cases, that is true. He tells Jesus, "Stop, I am not worthy. Stay there. I believe that you can just say the word and it'll be done." So in our experiences, as maybe you try to personalize this a little bit, you might think that if I could just be touched by Jesus, I know I'd be healed. Okay, let's pause on that thought for just one moment. Today, right now, I believe that there are people here, myself included, who have been or are searching for miracles. This could be health. It could be finances. It could be relationships. I don't know where that meets you, but I do know that needs are out there. And I do believe that as a church, we are called to call on Jesus to ask for those miracles, to seek those miracles. Now, we're going to see where we go this morning. But I want you to keep that in your mind this morning as we're talking about activating your faith. And I just called you to this Roman officer who Jesus says, "I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." He was not He was so concerned about himself and his unworthiness that he called for Jesus to stop, to not even come to his home, but he trusted in Jesus enough to say, "All you need to do is speak and it's done." Now, as we read through the text, you can see where he gets his perspective. Being an officer in the Roman guard, he understood that a superior person could give an order and the servant would go and do it. So he understood the idea of being spoken word and the power in it. And that understanding, along with what he has heard and understands about Jesus, is what gives him the faith to say, don't come to my home. I'm not worthy. Just speak it and it will be done. This morning, right now, I'm hoping that your faith is already increasing as we've been working through a long time of really building a strong foundation in our faith in Jesus. If we have faith in Jesus, we also have to have faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the power of the Holy Spirit bring? After Jesus was risen from the grave and meeting with his disciples and talking with people before he ascends to heaven, he says, I am sending to you someone greater than myself. I am giving you a gift, something greater than myself. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. And you will do greater things than I. Which is a pretty amazing statement coming from Jesus. That's an empowering statement. It's bold. What that statement needs to do is it needs to increase our faith. Because we believe in what Jesus did, right? We believe in the miracles documented through all of the New Testament, including this one. As this man's servant was nearing death, Jesus speaks. Not even in the same room, speaks. And his servant is healed. If we would continue reading in Luke chapter 7, we would see miracle after miracle after miracle of Jesus working and doing amazing things. We need to activate our season of miracles first by faith. Secondly, we need to activate it by expectancy. We need to expect God to move. We need to expect the Holy Spirit to work among us through our words to do the things we ask. That should give us the faith to pray for those who are sick. That should give us the faith to know that in our season of need, God will provide. That should give us the faith to know that even in the hardest and darkest spots of relationships, that God is able to restore. Not only restore, but renew. It's safe to say that in Luke chapter 7, through that text we read, that this Roman officer expected Jesus to heal his servant. I don't know that I need to really dig into this text a whole lot to explain that point. It's one thing to have faith, but it's a whole nother level of faith when you expect God to move when you are praying for people. When we pray for other people, we need to know that if it is God's will, now hear me out, not everything we pray about is done. Now I can't explain that. I can't. But what I can explain is that if it's God's will and you have the faith to step out and pray for someone, that it will be done. That it will be done. It might not be in your time. There are time after time after time, especially in the Old Testament, as we study scripture after scripture, we look at Abraham He was promised to have an offspring that was as numerous as the sand. And yet we see through the text in Genesis that he has no children and he's in his old age. Now we would look at that and we go, well, that's kind of a busted deal there. You see, he did receive his miracle. When God said, I will make your offspring as numerous as the sand on the seashore. He did. It just wasn't in Abraham's timeline. We need to pray with expectancy. When we pray, if we do not see an immediate action or response to our prayer, we need to continue to pray. We need to continue hoping. We need to continue longing for what God has promised. We need to activate our season of miracles by expectancy. We need to expect and understand that God is able and willing to work miracles in our lives. A lot of times we get to topics of miracles and the working of the Holy Spirit, and we... There are lines of thought saying, well, maybe, you know, that was for then. You know, that was for the scripture times in that context, in that time, and that doesn't happen anymore. That's not true. That's false. It's false, and I can attribute that being false based on my own experience, things I've witnessed, testimonies of hearing healings and other things that have taken place. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of us in this room know people that even have attended here who have been touched and healed by the hand of God. Just so I'm not confusing, I don't mean like a literal hand out of the sky craziness. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit moving. A tangible feeling, knowing that you were impacted somehow, and that your scenario, your situation was changed. I'm gonna share something that some of you have probably heard before. Some of you may have not, and maybe you've heard it and you forgot it. Just a little bit of my own story. Oh, I'm going to have to go off of how old Caleb is now. I'm not good with dates. 8 years ago, okay, let's start here. I'm a diabetic, been a diabetic since 4 years old. So that's pushing 30 years of being type 1 diabetic, which if any of you are familiar with that, it means your body does not produce insulin. You can't regulate your own blood sugars. You have to check your blood and do insulin and all of that fun stuff. If that is not controlled, if it's not regulated, your body begins to kind of break down in a sense. And it depends. I don't think there's any particular way that it happens. But you can have key functions that just don't work right anymore. And one of the big things that you hear about is diabetic retinopathy, which is a disease in the eyes that comes from a lack of control in diabetes. And what that is that I'm giving you kind of a science lesson this morning, but I hope that it helps bring light and paint not a bad picture, but a good picture of where we're going this morning. Diabetic retinopathy is where you have blood vessels that grow in your eyes that aren't supposed to be there. So if you understand, you already have blood vessels in your eyes, but these are weak, meaning the cell structure, the walls are weak, and they can easily break. And when they break, that results in a hemorrhage. So I had a, actually it was not too far from this time of year. It was December 23rd or 24th, about 8 years ago. And I can only say that because it was right around Caleb's birthday. But I woke up in the morning and I looked over at my alarm clock and I couldn't see it. Now, my alarm clock is about that big. And it's got the like big stadium, you know, numbers on it. And maybe you're not like me, but when I wake up, you're always kind of groggy. You can't see stuff real well. So I needed I like that. I like the big numbers. I woke up and I couldn't see it. And I was lucky enough that one of the local eye clinics, I was living in Colby at the time, was open. And I went in and I had him check my eye out. And he said, honestly, I can't tell you what's all going on. I can't see in your eye very well. And he knew that I likely had a detached retina. And there was too much blood in my eye that he couldn't see into it. So he sent me, he was going to send me to Wausau, but they couldn't take new patients. I don't know all the story about that. But we were already heading to Rochester to visit my family. So I said, you know what, transfer me to Mayo. I'm already going that way. Get me in there. And so I got there. I spent a day in the emergency room and meeting with people. And I remember my sister lives over there, and we were able to stay with her for about a week, I think. Actually, it might have been a little longer than a week. So from December 24th to January 4th, that's my son's birthday. I had surgery on my eye on January 4th. Before that surgery, just talking, I'm not sure if you all know, I'm a welder. That's my full-time job. I do that Monday through Friday, every week. And as a welder, you need vision, right? You kind of need to see what you're doing. That made me really nervous at that point. Not only was I going blind in my left eye, but that was kind of my livelihood. That was how I provided for my family. That was what I knew. And meeting with the doctors, I asked, you know, what's the likelihood that I'm going to be able to see again? And it was this, the lady was British, English, something like that. She had a little bit of an accent, probably about that tall. That's all I can remember. But she was one of the top retinal surgeons in the U.S. And it happened to be that God put us going in that location already. She told me, she's like, you know, there's a pretty good chance, you know, you'll get some of your vision back. But I can't tell you how much. And I just can't tell you. I don't know. So there we are going into this procedure, not knowing if at all I would have vision back in my left eye. To spare some of the details, I did go through surgery. It was an outpatient surgery, which is crazy enough. So you spend the day in the hospital and they send you home. I don't think I've ever been car sick, but I do remember getting car sick on the way back to my sister's house that day. We spent about, well, it was months. It was months. Literally months of not being able to see yet. They did a procedure. I want to spare you details just because if you're queasy at all, you don't want to hear it. So I don't know everyone in here well enough to know how that goes. It's an interesting procedure, and if you really want to look it up, what's it called? Vitrectomy. Okay, V-I-T-R-E-C-T-O-M-Y. I think I got that right. Just look it up, and you'll see the details of it, and you'll know what happens. But it involves removing fluid from the eye, putting different fluid in, and all that craziness. Because I had the detached retina, they also had to add a bubble of oil to help hold pressure against the retina so that it could heal. I was off work for a few months, I believe, 2 or 3 months. And I want to say it was about a year later, I had frequent follow-ups with the eye doctors. It was about a year later, I was starting to have pretty good vision again. And now, 8 years removed, it's near 20/20. they told me that I would have loss of peripheral vision, that I wouldn't be able to see, you know, what was going on. I'd be kind of tunnel vision. I can see out that window right now. And I can see out that window right now. So what I'm saying is that even though God was using doctors in my life, he used the circumstances to put the right people in place to do the work that needed to be done. And then he worked even beyond what they knew they could do to heal and to restore. That was kind of long-winded, but I think I had to explain what I did so that you could maybe feel a little bit of the weight of the whole situation and having to trust God through all of it. That was also about the same time that I decided maybe I needed to look for a new career because welding may not be in my future. That's about the same time I started doing online courses for a ministerial license. I was actually a Bible degree. That's a long process, but I didn't end up finishing there. I went through other courses and finished out. What I really attribute that to is God used the circumstances in my life to change my direction. Because I was there, I was doing everything I could do to control my life. And that situation took that control out of my hands. Because that's what I needed. I needed to question my own ability to do what I needed to do. One, to turn direction and focus on ministry, which I already knew God was calling me to. I was probably more scared to go that way. But he used that to direct me into the steps and the direction that he wanted my life to go. I can say that I'm still welding. I shared that. He has allowed me to continue to do that, to support my family and to do that. But he also did it to give me a testimony of healing. Yes, I can give credit to the doctors and the surgeons who worked on me. But at the same time, one of my eye doctors, he always said, you know, he was another retinal specialist. He said, God does the work, we do the billing. So he understood that they could do what they could do with the giftings that God had given them. But it's God that works and does the healing, does the restoration. Activate your season of miracles by faith. Activate it by expectancy. Number three, this one's a little bit long. Hang with me. Activate it by living a life of obedience. Activate it by living a life of obedience, not just in the big things, but in the small things every day. What we've been talking about the last few weeks has been, actually it's probably months by now, was really challenging the foundation of our faith and the core of our faith, that everything that flows from us expresses faith, meaning the words we speak are healthy, they're full of life, they're not derogatory, they're not mean-hearted, they're not angry, they're uplifting, they're upbuilding. The things we think, that we are processing what we think, and that we are judging what we think, to know that if there's something going through my mind that is not of God, that I can call that out. This is called controlling your thoughts and renewing your mind. If there's something going through your mind that you know is not of God, you call that out. You do it through prayer. You do it through your voice. I know you are not of God. I know you are not of the Spirit of Christ. I judge you. I command you to leave. You'll be amazed at what that statement alone will do in the way you think. It causes you to process how you are thinking and to judge the thoughts that are not holy and Christ-like. So the way we speak, the way we think, the way we act, we need to live obediently through all of that. We need to be kind to each other. We need to be generous. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Going through verse 16 this morning. So our third point was activate your season of miracles by living a life of obedience. Living a life of obedience. I'm gonna jump ahead to the fourth point before we read Acts chapter 5. The fourth point is activate it by being someone else's miracle this season. Activate your own season of miracles by being a miracle for someone else this season. We're going to get into that a little bit, but Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. What you need to know about this text is this isn't talking about Jesus. This is talking about his apostles, the people that believe in him, the people that are working for him. Jesus has already ascended to heaven by this time in Acts. So now he has already said, you will receive someone greater than I, something greater than I. I will send you a gift, an intercessor, a guide. Acts chapter 2 is where that is documented. When the day of Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit was poured out among everyone waiting where they were told to wait. So now you see these apostles, these everyday people who had faith in Jesus. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. How are they doing this? It's because they have faith. It's because they sought and waited for the filling of the Holy Spirit who brings power to do the miraculous. One thing about waiting on God is that you can wait and hope that God will do something, or you can wait and expect God to do something. All of the apostles, as we would continue to read through the book of Acts, I would encourage you to do that on your own. Every single person waited for what Jesus had said was coming. They waited expecting God to meet them where they were. One thing we need to understand is we can all get comfortable. We can all get comfortable where we are. That's in everything in life. You can get comfortable in your job. You can get comfortable in where you live. You can get comfortable in the place you are at in your faith. The problem is when we get comfortable in our faith, we stop moving. We stop growing. We stop acting out in faith. If we want to expect a season of miracles, which I hope we all do, we need to be willing to act in faith, to be a miracle for someone else. I read from Acts chapter 5 because I wanted you to see common men who are doing the miraculous. We understand Jesus can do the miraculous. We understand when we read scriptures and see that, look, Jesus healed another dead guy, brought him back to life. There's another blind man that can see. There's another lame man who can walk. Right? And that makes sense. We understand it when they say it about Jesus, but we often forget that after Jesus ascended to heaven and he gave his gift of the Holy Spirit, which he is still giving today, that now it is his followers who are called to act on his behalf through the power of the Holy Spirit, to speak boldly and to proclaim healing, provision, restoration. We increase our own faith when we act out in faith for others. And the more our faith is increased, the more you would begin to see things like this as a result of the apostles' work. This is in Acts 5, verse 15. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets. See, now the community around them is understanding that they work in powerful ways and that they can do amazing things, not on their own behalf, but on through the name of Jesus Christ. It would bring people into the streets hoping to just have Peter's shadow. Do you understand what level that is on? That is on, they're attributing Peter to being the same, on the same level as Jesus in this aspect. People would seek Jesus hoping to just touch the hem of his clothes, knowing that if they could just do that, they would be healed. Or if Jesus would just pass by them, they might be healed. And now you see people seeing that same activity through Peter. I'm not saying Peter was higher than anyone else, because he's not. He believes strongly in what Jesus Christ did, and he believes strongly in the power of the Holy Spirit that had come upon all of the apostles. Acts chapter 5, verse 16, crowds came from villages around Jerusalem. Meaning this all was growing at such a rate that it was expanding beyond the limits of Jerusalem. They were bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. We're gonna close pretty quickly here. Alexa, if you would come up and just be prepared to play something. How many of you are familiar enough with the New Testament to remember that Jesus' disciples, while Jesus was still living, Jesus sent them out two by two to go and to minister to different areas? He had spent years already discipling those men, those people, and now he was sending them out to do ministry. Now, the interesting thing I want you to understand is that they would come back to Jesus and say, "I don't get it. I prayed for this person and they weren't delivered of this spirit, or I prayed for this person and they weren't healed." But we get now past Jesus' life, past his death, past his resurrection, past his ascension. And now we're just past these same men receiving the Holy Spirit. And now these same men, after receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, are walking around the community speaking in boldness, in expectancy, knowing that as they speak and as they claim Jesus' promises, that things will happen. The same men who could not cast out evil spirits or heal anyone are now speaking with power. There's something that happened within them. One, their faith was increased. After they saw Jesus living again after having died on the cross and being buried, now they saw him again and they understood that what he spoke and what he taught was real. So they waited expecting what Jesus said would come, being the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once they received that gift, they immediately went out proclaiming truth to those around them. Speaking with power, with authority, with boldness. You need to activate your faith by being someone else's miracle for this season. Maybe that means praying for someone, using your own faith pray for someone in need. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe you need to be the one that can be generous and help someone that's in a tight spot. But God is asking each and every one of us to do something. Maybe you're the one that needs a healing of some sort, whether it's physical, whether it's relational, emotional. This morning, as we close, Alexa's going to play quietly. I'm going to do something a little bit different. If you would like prayer from myself and Amanda, we will be on this side, and we will pray with anyone who wants to come up for prayer with us. If you want to pray on your own, maybe this time you're interceding for somebody, you're praying for somebody else you know that needs a miracle, and you're lifting them up. If you want to intercede for somebody or pray for your own need, I would ask you to come to this other side. I'm going to pray to close our message. And then if you need prayer, come forward. Like I said, if you want Amanda and myself to pray with you, come to this side. If you want to pray on your own, if you want to just kneel at the altar and talk to God and lift your own concerns, your own needs, feel free to do so. We're going to give time to God, expecting him to do something this morning. Because we believe that God is willing. Even more so than willing, he is able. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this challenge to lift our own faith as we recall your own words to the Roman officers saying, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would increase our faith, that we would be like that Roman officer where we know and we expect that you are able and you are willing to reach out and to touch our needs, to touch those in the community around us and the families around us. Father, we know that in this Christmas season, as we celebrate your birth, and everything that that stands for. We know that that stands for restoration, not only of our physical lives, but of our relationship to you. We thank you, God. We thank you for sending your Son, who represents holiness, who is holiness, in flesh here on earth, that we can see and read of the power of your might working through him. I thank you for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Just pray, Lord, and ask that you would allow your Spirit to move mightily in this place today. That you would grab our hearts, grab our minds to know and understand that, that you are who you say you are. That as we pray for each other or for ourselves or for those around us, people we know, that you would move in power. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. We give you all the glory and the honor, Jesus. Amen.